trouble, baby. Whole lot of shaking going on. Yes, I say, come on over, baby. Baby, you can't go wrong. We ain't faking. Whole lot of shaking going on.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Attention, Please, on this Labor Day Monday. First Monday in the month of September. I have two guests on Attention Please today. Anderson McKenzie manages, owns Foggy Hog Farm somewhere within the city limits of Port Townsend. We'll find out where. And Velda Thomas is an author, is a multi-talented, multi-skilled individual. But we're going to talk about a book that she soon will release called Blended Perspectives in Belonging. I need to say first, though, greetings and hello to Anderson McKenzie. Anderson, hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me on.
You're very, very welcome. So tell me, where is Foggy Hog Farm, and how long have you been doing this?
Certainly. First, I just want to quickly clarify and say that I am not actually the owner. The farm is owned by Alex LeMay. He's my brother-in-law, so we are very much a family farm. And we work shoulder to shoulder in the field every day. So Foggy Hog Farm was born in Chimicum, and it was actually born on the very same land that Alex was born some 35 years ago when his parents came out here to homestead themselves. So we're sort of jumping into a grand family tradition of sort of trying to bring life to the Chimicum Valley here.
So, Anderson, I misspoke twice. I thought that you were somewhere in the city limits of Port Townsend, but you're out in the valleys.
We have multiple sites. The farm started in Chimicum. We are farming in Port Townsend on the Notambaya Northwest Farm, which is on 7th Street off Discovery Road. So we do have a site in Port Townsend. We have animals that we're running in Port Townsend as well.
So that must keep you awfully busy having multiple locations and multiple animals, but it does explain how you're doing both hogs and beef. I want to talk primarily about the hogs. Where are they?
So we have hogs on four different sites in Port Townsend and in Chimicum. So as I mentioned, we have animals, both hogs and cattle, at Notambaya Northwest here in Port Townsend. And then we have something like 80 pigs running around in Chimicum right now as well on four different sites. Like a lot of, early farms, we don't start off owning our own land. So we rent our land from other farms. We own all the livestock and all the infrastructure. We handle all the management practices ourselves. And that's actually a great system because it allows us to be to get started, get up and running, and be really flexible with our practices as we go along without necessarily needing the huge amount of capital that investing in significant land ownership sometimes requires.
And the price of land around here, as many of us know, is prohibitive to agriculture. So it's fortunate you can lease what you need.
Yeah. So honestly, it's it does make for some hectic days running around to a bunch of different farms and getting a bunch of different animals fed on a bunch of different sites. But it does give us flexibility. And I think we're doing very well with that right now.
So Anderson, when did all this begin? How long have you been managing the land
and
the animals?
Yeah, we're about a year in at this point.
Sorry?
We started bringing our animals into the valley about a year ago.
And where did they come from? How did you procure them?
So my boss, Alex, is good friends with a buddy he grew up with out here who has inherited a family farm in Shelton. Alex was able to study with him, follow his practices, learn his methods, and then bring those ideas, basically bringing them home with him, and literally brought some of those first animals to the land he grew up on, his childhood home, and we've been expanding from there, both into Port Townsend and into other areas in Chimicum as well.
So, with respect both to the beef and to the hogs, which breeds do you raise, and what advantages do they bring?
Yeah, so we in terms of our hogs, we have a variety, but our favorite and certainly the breed that we specialize in are called Berkshires. That is the breed that we actually do breed ourselves. We have a Berkshire boar and a bunch of sows that are living in on Alex's land in Chimicum. And so that's really where we produce our stock from is from our breeding operation. A lot of farms, especially early farms, will start off buying piglets from other farms and other breeders, which is a very fine and legitimate way to go. But we prefer to be breeding ourselves, having oversight at that early stage of the operation. And it does allow us to practice the methods of farming that we want to from day one of our animals' lives. So rather than buying an animal at 6 or 7 weeks old, we know that animal from the first moment it's born. And we're able to incorporate that animal into our practices, as I said, from their first moments of life.
So yes, Anderson, indeed. Where do you get your feed, and how does it differ from what someone might feed to a hog that would produce meat that I might buy if I went to QFC at QFC?
Absolutely. So we get a very good base feed from a farm in Washington called Red Bridge Farm. It is a veteran-owned, family-owned farm in Kettle Falls, and it they produce a really fantastic feed that provides complete nutrition in literally every single bite. So we're covering our bases in terms of the daily protein ration, all the way down to the enzymes that are going to allow our animals to digest effectively and really maximize their growth potential. So we're incredibly happy with the feed that we provide. It is organic. It is non-GMO. There is no corn. There is no soy. And so we believe that we're feeding them top of the market materials there. Beyond that, our animals are constantly outdoors on pasture. So in contrast to the conventional model of agriculture, in contrast to the pork that you're going to find, the vast majority of the pork that you're going to find in supermarkets in this country, our animals live outdoors, and unfortunately, that's not the case for most pigs that are going to be harvested in this country. Most of them are living in concrete boxes. They don't have the access to exercise, sunshine, fresh air, and fresh forage that we provide for our animals daily. And we believe profoundly that that affects both the welfare of the animals, the health of the animals, and the quality of the product that you're getting at the end. If we are what we eat, then so are the animals that we're raising. So
Okay, so Anderson.
over-medicated animals that lack exercise and lack ability to be outside in fresh air, it's going to have a detrimental effect on the quality of the meat.
Excellent, Anderson. Now that we're hungry, I'm getting hungry, and for those of us who are not vegans and are getting hungry, you now are offering CSAs. How do people sign up? How do they find you?
Absolutely. So we will be at the farmers market in Port Townsend every single Saturday of the season. People are welcome to come to our booth there at the farmers market. That's from 9 in the morning until 2 p.m. every single Saturday into December. We will be there. We will be ready to sign you up for a CSA on the spot. They can also reach out to us through our website at foggyhogfarm.com. They can sign up for the CSA there. We do also do the more traditional quarter shares of hogs as well, if people prefer that. We will arrange to sell cuts, specific cuts, if people are interested in that. So we have a lot of options. And people can also give me a call anytime, which I'll give you that number. It's 360-912-4617. You can reach the farm that way, and I'm happy to arrange any CSA signups that might interest you. I will also mention quickly, I know you only have a moment here, but I will mention quickly that as we move into the fall CSA in October, we will be featuring not just pork, but poultry, beef, and lamb as well.
Anderson McKenzie, thank you very much. Foggy Hog Farm. If people didn't quite catch all that internet information, they can write to me to get it, cats@kptz.org, and I will put you in touch with Anderson and Foggy Hogg. And with that, I say thank you. And I'm going to turn to Velda Thomas by unmuting her. We do this on Zoom, in case you all didn't know what I'm talking about when I say unmute. Velda, hello there.
Hey, Phil. Thanks for having me on.
I have not seen you in a while, and I can hear you very well. I have a long introduction of you. I guess I will read it because it's so fascinating. Well, it's not that long, really. Born and educated in England, with family ancestry sourced from Africa, the Caribbean, and the Americas. This is your self-description. It's not in complete sentences, so it's more, what's the word I want? Well, I don't know what the word is. But anyway, healing modalities have always been of interest to her, along with love of plants, herbal remedies, somatic and ritual experiences, passion with grounded human experience for creativity and freedom of expression. Velda has worked as a kindergarten teacher, an adult educator, a birth doula, massage therapist, sound practitioner, and a writer. She's a horsewoman, a beekeeper, a nature lover, a mover of body, and world traveler, and now she has found time to be the author of her first book. The word I wanted was impressionistic. Impressions of Velda is what we just got there. You're the author of your first book, and the title is Blended, Perspectives in Belonging. Well, explain the title, please.
Yeah, that's a really good question. So initially it started off with more kind of like, the title didn't come first, the title came later. So the writing started off with some personal narratives, some poetry, and I started making art for the book also. And Blended kind of came a little bit later as I realized that what I was doing was articulating the blended aspects of myself on many levels. So the first title is Blended, and then the second title is Perspectives on Belonging, which I think we all want to belong. So it's kind of my life perspective and process on working to belong, which I think is a lifelong endeavor. Probably not going to get there right away. And there's another title, actually, a participatory notebook. So the book itself also has reflection questions and blank pages in order for the reader to participate in the creation of the book with their own either writing, art, collage, any way that they feel they need to create. Yeah.
So I was going to ask you at the outset, but I didn't, but now I will, to read a brief excerpt from your book.
Yeah, I would love to read something from here. So this piece is called Queendom, as opposed to Kingdom. This is Queendom. And this is my imagination of what my queendom might be. So I'm going to read it to you now. Queendom. Welcome to my queendom, the area where my energy permeates everything. This place is all things soft and strong, light and dark, deep and wide. The base winding up my waist in a celebratory dance of this sacred magic of being alive. My passion is potent. Wildness easily accessible through the rhythm of a drum. My voice will sound a welcome song that makes you blush a little to receive so much intimate attention. No holding back. I hold your hands in mine. A crackle of lightning belly laughter vibrates, taking up all the space and tears of wet joy trickling down our cheeks. We are together. Love will not be contained or repressed in my queendom. I govern in a way that clearly pleasures me. Ample time, sensitivity, and warmth overflowing. I welcome you into this palace with an embrace that holds the universe. The rules are fluid, the high standards of kindness and respect revered. Safety permeates the atmosphere, eye contact slipping into comfortable silence. There is abundance to share. A blanket, an open ear, cozy hat, words of encouragement, warm tea, clear guidance, and spicy family curry. Rest your laurels here, my friend. Confidence oozes from the cushions on the couch. The carpet holds you to the earth, and the painted walls are ready to receive you. The cake baking in the oven contains brandy-soaked fruits, ritually prayed over for a whole year. Sweetness fills the lungs of this small palace I call home. When I smile at you, warm sunshine lights up the air and kisses your gentle face, just like my grandmother smiled at me. You will always be treasured just as you are in my queendom.
Well, Velda, could you please tell me how I sign up for a CSA for your queendom? You're talking with Anderson about his CSA. I think I need to sign up for one with you.
Like to be in my queendom for a little bit, huh?
I think that I would be very happy there.
Awesome. Okay. That's the idea.
And you're going to have a book release gathering, a celebration, the end of this month at Finn River Farm.
Hopefully, yes. Yeah, and I'm hoping to. So that will be September 29th from 5 to 8 p.m. at Finn River. It'll be a launch where I'll be reading and selling my book, signing my book. I'm also creating merchandise based on the art that I created for the book. I did about 29 lino cuts for the book. So there's a lot of art in the book also.
So you've done everything. You've done the art, obviously the writing. Are you going to also be managing a website so people can interact with you day by day by day?
I have a Patreon account, which is where I feature a lot of my writing. And right now, the book is available for pre-order. I do have a website, but I wouldn't say it would be a place to interact. A place to interact would be more like Instagram or Facebook.
Okay, and that's what you'll be doing once your book is out? Or maybe you
I
already
hope so.
Are.
I hope I'll be doing more radio, more podcasts, maybe book clubs, maybe some Zoom soirees. Who knows, right?
I have no idea, but I would very much imagine that the opportunities will be limitless, and you will be on Cats and Our Laps, the show that I host, Sunday, September 25th, it is. No, September 26th, excuse me. And also, as you might know, Ahmad Babahar, someone with whom you are well associated, will be joining me on the show that same day, that same night.
Right, right.
I know you from a past encounter or two, and I know you from just now and just from looking at you, that you're not a shy, retiring individual. Still, there's a lot of personal revealing that goes on in your book, I can tell. And that takes courage. And I'm wondering where you get that courage and how you sustain it.
Yeah, that's a really good question, Phil. It is, I will say that it is a deeply intimate and vulnerable sharing for me. It's when my husband kind of looked at the book, and the next morning he said to me, it's kind of like being a fly on the wall for your life. And that really struck me as kind of, yeah, what the book's content is. It's really very honest, open, and vulnerable, intimate communication.
And yeah. It will challenge the reader as well.
It will challenge the reader as well. And I'm hoping that the reader will, you know, the whole purpose for writing the book is to kind of make a difference and to also encourage people to sit with the content and evolve, not to feel like they're right or they're wrong, but to really have the time to process. But back to your question about strength, I would say that a lot of the strength for this book has a lot to do with my ancestors and their struggles and kind of drawing from that deep well of cultural wisdom that is within my body. I felt like it was really important that I put my voice out there. Yeah.
Well, Velda Thomas, I'll look forward to hearing more from you. Primarily, I'll be having you read on the 26th of September. We'll have a little conversation, but mostly, from what I've heard, especially, I'm really looking forward to hearing more of your book. So I will tell our listeners and you that that's going to be a good experience on September 26th. Again, your celebration, which is really what it is, at Finn River, is when?
It's going to be September 29th from 5 to 8 p.m.
So we're going to keep you in front of the public, at least at the end of September. I want to thank you very much, Velda Thomas, for being with me on Attention, Please.
Thank you so much, Phil.
Have yourself a good rest of your month and enjoy the sunshine.